The most bruising battle in the superhero world isn't between spandex-clad characters, it's between the publishers themselves. The new book Slugfest, inside the epic 50-year battle between Marvel and DC, is the first detailed behind-the-scenes story of these two iconic companies and their bitter rivalry, from their inceptions to the multimedia, multi-billion-dollar industry that we recognize today. Again, the name of the book is Slugfest. Reed Tucker is a freelance journalist who writes about pop culture and entertainment, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Reed to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, no, thank you, Joe. It's glad to be with you.
When did this become really one of our great rivalries?
Well, I mean, it started back in the 60s, but back then, you know, it was only about publishing. DC and Marvel were both founded in the 30s, but it wasn't really until the early 60s that Marvel started launching its own superheroes to compete with DC, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, all those. So that's really when things started to take off. But I guess what's interesting and what I wrote about a lot in the book is that DC for so long, maybe from the 30s to the 60s, was kind of like the blue chip, the class of the industry, and Marvel didn't really threaten them. But in the 60s, when Marvel launched its new superheroes, starting with Fantastic Four and then following with, you know, Hulk and Thor and Spider-Man and all these other now iconic heroes, they really challenged DC, and DC was kind of taken aback that this scrappy little company that basically had one employee at the time, Stan Lee, was able to challenge it. DC did not take the threat from Marvel seriously for a while. Eventually they did. It's been raging for more than 50 years, since the 60s.
Is it always a horse race, meaning one is out front at one point or another comes, or is it always or most often seems to be a clear winner?
A lot of people would say Marvel won the horse race a long time ago. You know, it wasn't even a photo finish. Marvel has been leading, at least in publishing, selling comic books to people who read comic books every month. They've been leading that market share since the 70s, and outside of a month here or there, DC has not really touched them in that. In merchandising, Marvel is also pretty far ahead. I think Spider-Man is the number one character when it comes to merchandising in the entire world. And now with movies, I mean, I don't know about you, but I certainly like the Marvel movies better, and I think they've had much more success than DC has had. DC sort of nowadays doesn't really seem like they know what they're doing, and their strategy changes with the day of the week. But Marvel, ever since Iron Man came out in 2008, has had this clear vision and this firm plan about what they wanted to do, and they've executed it, I think, pretty much to perfection and made a lot of money in the process.
What's interesting about that is that DC has these iconic characters. I mean, they all do, but good Lord, Superman and Batman. You can't get better than that, for goodness sakes.
It's so true. You look at DC and you wonder how they've screwed them up. But, you know, if you ask me and if you ask a lot of critics and viewers, they have kind of screwed them up, starting with director Zack Snyder's Man of Steel and then following with Batman versus Superman. I mean, Wonder Woman was kind of a hit over the summer, and people seem to like that. What I've been reading now is, based on the success of Wonder Woman, DC is going to try to go in more of a new direction and try to break themselves away from this template that got established with Zack Snyder's Batman versus Superman for these heroes. And they're going to try to make them more self-contained, I guess, is a polite way of saying it. So, you know, who knows what they're going to do. But yeah, I'm with you. I really hope that there is better things ahead for Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, because I really like those characters. I grew up with them. And like you said, they are iconic.
You make the point in the book, and I think it's an interesting one, that Marvel is just edgier. DC seems to have this kind of old-fashioned persona of the old-time comic book look, which actually is much like the cover of your book, actually, that staid, you know, this is what we used to do, don't screw with success, whereas Marvel has said, okay, we can be a little edgier and do things that are a bit different.
Yeah, and it's sort of unfortunate, I guess, DC is a victim of their own success in a way, because they obviously introduced Superman back in 1938, and a lot of their characters followed quickly after that. You know, Batman the next year, Wonder Woman in the early 40s. And so a lot of their heroes are built in that kind of old-fashioned mold. You know, they are these aw shucks kind of do-gooders. To me, they're so righteous, they're boring. They don't really have personalities. As somebody said in the book, in the old days, you could take the dialogue from their heroes and just swap it around. You know, you could give the dialogue that Superman was saying to Batman or to Wonder Woman, and it wouldn't make any difference because they didn't really have distinct personalities. They weren't really three-dimensional characters. And Marvel had the advantage of, I guess, as I said earlier, of their most of their heroes came along in the 60s, and so they have a much more modern sensibilities. They seem more human. They come with flaws and problems. To me, they're much more three-dimensional characters that have distinct personalities. And so, I mean, I think that's kind of what's going on. And since the 30s, DC has been really trying to update its characters for a modern audience and had some success, but still struggles in a way is kind of what you see now with the movies. You know, how do you make Superman relevant to a modern audience? And I don't think they've quite come up with a solution.
The rivalry and the back and forth between these companies is hilarious. You tell these stories in the book. It can be very, very petty at times. Please tell the story about Wonder Man.
Wonder Man was a character that was introduced by Marvel in the 60s. He was just a sort of a superpowered guy, nothing special about him. But when he was introduced, DC got its nose bent out of shape because Wonder Man sounds a whole lot like their character, Wonder Woman. They kind of raised the stink about it, and Stan Lee, the head of Marvel Comics at the time, said, all right, you know, no problem. I understand what you're saying. We're going to kill off Wonder Man. So they killed him off. So later in the 70s, DC in 1976 introduced a new character they called Power Girl. So this came just a few years after Marvel had introduced a new character called Power Man. So Stan Lee said, well, you know, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, we killed off Wonder Man a few years ago, and now you're introducing this Power Girl, which is a lot like our Power Man. So Stan Lee said, you know, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to get revenge. And so basically to pay DC back, he brought Wonder Man back from the dead and reintroduced him to the Marvel Universe. And to this day, Wonder Man is still a very big player in Marvel Comics.
Meanwhile, no matter who is winning, who is losing, both companies are making a lot of money.
That is true. That is very true. And especially now that they're both owned by these multinational billion-dollar conglomerates. Marvel, obviously, is owned by Disney, and DC is owned by, Warner Brothers, Time Warner, and has been for years. And so the funny thing is that publishing has become really less of a concern. I'm not sure they're making a huge amount of money from publishing, but the money that flows from the publishing, you know, these licensed products that they make millions and millions of dollars on, both companies, or now they can raid these comic book libraries for television shows and movies, and they're obviously making a whole lot of money off of that.
And the audience stays with it. There's still a great core audience, as well as people who also have the mild interest as well.
Yeah, that is true. It's funny because when it comes to publishing comic books, the audience, I believe, is getting a lot older. So you have these people who have been loyal to the publishing industry for years, that have read comics for years or sometimes decades, and those seem to be the people that are buying the most comics these days. So it's unclear if that new generation is going to replace those older readers. Certainly one of the problems that the comic book industry has is, like a lot of print industries, is that circulation has continued to decline. And so they've tried to battle that by increasing the cover price. And so now a Marvel or DC comic is $4 or $5, you know, whereas back in the day, it used to be 10 cents, 15 cents, 75 cents in the 80s. And so I think it's become sort of out of reach for a lot of children. And so I don't really know what's going to happen in the future bringing in that new audience.
But the movies and shows will always bring in audience,
yeah,
right?
That's true. Yeah, it's definitely true. And it's funny because if you talk to kids now, a lot of times they discover these heroes, as you say, through cartoons or TV shows or movies, or as I did as a kid, through merchandise. That's the first way somebody might see Batman as opposed to a Batman comic. And, just casually, I would tell people when I was writing this book, acquaintances, oh, I'm writing this, you know, about Marvel versus DC. And they would always ask me, like, oh, they still publish comic books today? You know, some people don't even know that they're still out there. But But yes, they still do publish comics.
Reed Tucker, thank you very much for spending time with us. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you very much for having me on, Joe. I enjoyed it.
Great pleasure. Again, the name of the book is Slugfest, Inside the Epic 50-Year Battle Between Marvel and DC. It's published by DeCapo. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.